In an election just over a week ago, Colombian voters elected a leftist president for the first time. Gustavo Petro and his running mate Francia Marquez, the country's first black vice president, represent a trend of countries in Latin America turning to more left-leaning leadership, including Peru and Chile. What does it mean for the U.S., which has for a long time had relationships with more conservative governments in the region? Cynthia J. Arnson is a distinguished fellow and former director of the Wilson Center's Latin America program. She's an expert on Latin American politics. Cindy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with Colombia. How big a turn was this election outcome in that country just a week ago?
It's really a huge turn. And it's, I think, because it represented not only the election of Gustavo Petro, but also the person that he was running against in the second round, a huge sea change. When traditional elites were rejected outright, and Gustavo Petro is a man of the left, Colombia has never had a leftist president. We can talk later about why that is. But the person he was running against in the second round was also someone who was a virtual unknown on the national stage until he captured the public imagination by campaigning on an anti-corruption platform and mostly campaigning through TikTok. And he overtook the establishment candidate in the second round. And that was also, I think, unheard of in Colombian politics.
People hear left-leaning candidates winning in Latin America and might think of, you know, somebody who fits into a European or American mold of the left, or an authoritarian left-leaning populist leader like in Venezuela. The same could be said on the right, right of center or right-wing authoritarian. What do you see these Colombia and those other countries I mentioned? What direction do you see those heading?
Well, I think the major trend is not so much to the left, although the presidents that you just mentioned are men of the left. It's more a rejection of the current government. So in the case of Chile, which had a center-right government, the Chilean public, because it has suffered so many reversals during the COVID-19 pandemic, this is a region that has just been, you know, they had the worst economic performance of any developing area, more COVID deaths than any part per capita than any other part of the world. People are punishing the incumbents. So if the incumbent was someone of the center right, they go to someone of the center left or the left. The same in Colombia. You had a center right government now being rejected, and you have a leftist government coming into place. And we're going to see the largest country of South America, Brazil, have a presidential election this coming October. And the expectation is that a right-wing president, Bolsonaro, will be replaced by a leftist. Lula, the former president, is likely to come back. So right now, the trend seems to be towards the left, but mostly I think it's a trend that says, you know, the current government hasn't delivered what we need, get rid of them and bring in an alternative.
I think the United States for a long time has viewed Latin America as kind of our backyard, for better or worse, maintained a lot of influence in the country, some of the countries we're talking about. Does the U.S. matter so much in these countries that have turned to center left or left leaders?
The United States continues to matter to certain countries, but there has been, and this was certainly on display as the United States hosted the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles just a couple of weeks ago, that countries feel at much greater liberty to defy the United States and to reject U.S. influence. And it's certainly been the case for at least the last 15 years or so, that the large commodity exporting countries of South America have turned to China as their principal export destination, their principal trading partner. They've also had, you know, billions of dollars of Chinese loans and infrastructure investments. And the United States is really not able to match that. But the what I think has been really notable is that even countries that traditionally have depended very heavily on U.S. foreign assistance, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, felt at liberty to not show up to the summit to protest what they said was, you know, a U.S. decision to not invite the authoritarian governments of Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba. And I think that's what's unheard of. You know, the United States needs the cooperation of those governments to stem migration. The Biden administration has also lashed out against not only government officials, but members of the private sector for being involved in corruption. So, you know, it reportedly, you know, some of those presidents wouldn't even take a phone call from Secretary of State Tony Blinken. So we're, I think, in a very different very different moment from, say, 20 years ago when the first Summit of the Americas was held, and the region was overwhelmingly democratic, and with the exception of Cuba, and U.S. leadership was unquestioned at the end of the Cold War and the advent of a unipolar world. And I think that's really changed.
With the Russian invasion of Ukraine, a lot of international economic issues, conflict with China economically and more, Latin America doesn't necessarily get a lot of attention. And you were quoted in a Washington Post piece saying that's bad. What are you hoping to see, especially from the U.S. administration when it comes to Latin America?
Well, one thing I think that would be an important step forward is to confirm ambassadors. There are many major Latin American countries that haven't had an ambassador for some time. Chile, for example, 3.5 years. The career Foreign Service ambassador, career diplomat, Philip Goldberg, recently left Colombia. And there is a chargé d'affaires. And I think it really hurts U.S. diplomacy. And this is not only the fault of the administration or the responsibility of the administration. There are people on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that are holding up a number of these ambassadorial appointments because they are not happy either with the nominee or with some other aspect of Biden foreign policy. And that really hurts, I think, U.S. diplomacy overall, and hurts the U.S. relationship with the region. But just as important as the diplomacy is to partner or to build a coalition with all of the regional development banks, with the Inter-American Development Bank, the World Bank, the Development Bank of Latin America, known as the CAF, to have all of these banks come together with the United States, with the Development Finance Corporation, and really start to foster investment in countries that are on their knees economically. And the United States so far has not showed that it has much to deliver. And Biden was not terribly bold at the Summit of the Americas in terms of announcing a new initiative. That was, in my view, a real lost opportunity.
And we'll leave it there. Cindy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure.
That's Cynthia Arntzen, Distinguished Fellow and former director of the Wilson Center's Latin American program, looking at recent trends in Latin American elections, what it means for the United States.